turn to John chapter 8. You know, to be honest, I have mixed emotions about the word freedom as it applies to our nation today. It seems like every time we turn around, they're taking something away and making it harder, it seems like, to just be free. Well, especially those of us that have been around a while, it's not the way it used to be, is it? And we remember the way it was, and we recognize that freedoms have been and are slowly being taken away, sometimes not so slow. And this can be discouraging, but as Christians, we need to keep our focus on the freedom that we have through our faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, that's a freedom that can never be taken away. You know, let's face it, countries come, countries go, governments rise, governments fall. People are affected by that, and that just seems to be the way it is. But the freedom that we have in Christ never goes away. God never changes. Tells us that in His Word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the things that He guarantees us in His Word is just as valid now as it was when He wrote it. And so we're just going to look at this passage. It's probably a familiar passage to most of us. John chapter 8, verse 30. As He was saying these things, many believed in Him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you continue in My word, you really are My disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And so that's why the title of the message is Truth, the Path to Freedom. Because it's the truth that sets us free. And if you're banking on lies, you're going to find yourself in bondage. It's just that simple. And so we're just going to look at a few points here and see where that takes us. So starting in verse 30, we have the people. The people. It says, as He was saying these things, what was He saying? He was having this argument, if you will, or a discussion with the Pharisees. And of course, we know the Pharisees were always trying to dispute what He had to say. They were always contradicting Him. They were always questioning Him. And then eventually, of course, they wanted to eliminate Him. And He'd been saying all these things. And he's like in verse 26 of chapter 8, He says, "I have many things to say, but the One who sent Me is true, and what I have heard from Him, these things I tell the world." And so He says, I'm operating in truth here, and I'm telling you these things, and they are questioning Him. But it says in verse 30, as He was saying these things, many believed. Many believed. And Jesus turns from speaking wrath. If you look in verse 21, He says, "I'm going away, and you will look for Me, and you will die in your sin, and where I'm going, you cannot come." You understand that when Jesus left, He went to heaven? And if you die in your sin, where He went, you can't come? It's only through faith and trust in Jesus Christ that you go where Jesus went.
Amen.
And he's laying it on them. That's why they were so angry. That's why they're arguing. They don't want to hear that. "Oh, I'm the righteous Pharisee. I've been practicing this law my whole life." Because they were working their way to heaven. They weren't getting to heaven by faith. They were trying to work their way. And Jesus was saying, "No, you're not going there if you die in your sin." And so He turns from speaking wrath to the self-righteous Pharisees, and He turns to the new believers. He says, as He was saying these things, many believed. And so He starts speaking grace to the new believers. Do you understand that the freedom that we have in Christ is open to anyone who believes? Jesus the Lord, the Father, not a respecter of persons. From the what we consider the highest rung to the lowest rung, it's all level at the cross. It's open to everyone who has faith and believes what? The truth. The truth. Anyone who believes the truth has this freedom. Freedom starts with believing the truth. That's why it's so important for us to share. It's why it's so important for us to be transparent in our walk and let people see Christ through us, because it starts for them, their freedom starts with believing the truth. And we've been left here to share the truth. Bottom line. That's what it's about. And freedom starts with believing the truth. And then we see the process. In verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples." There's a process there. Continue. The word means to stay, abide, dwell, endure, remain, or stand in a given place, state, relationship, or expectancy. It's an interesting definition. To stay, abide, dwell, endure, remain, or stand in a given place, a given state, a given relationship, or an expectancy. Do you have an expectancy? I hope you do. You know, if you've accepted Christ as Savior, you can expect. And we'll be talking about that in the next one, the promises that go along with that. But while we're waiting on that, what are we doing here? And that's when he's talking about abiding, dwelling with him, enduring, remaining. And so he says, if you continue in my word. I mean, where are we to stay? Where are we to abide? What is our expectancy placed upon? In my word. What is the word? The revealed will of God. Delivered with his authority and made effective by his power. You know, this word came to us by his authority. And it is an effective word. If you apply this word to your life, things happen. It's effective. Now, things may not be good that happen to you because of this word. We know that many are persecuted. And we're starting to feel the sting of that here in this nation. But it's been going on. And it's been going on ever since Christ walked the earth. When you name the name of Christ, you're setting yourself up. But the point is, this is God's word. This is what he thinks. You want to know what God thinks about something? It's in here. What does he think about marriage? What does he think about money? What does he think about service? What does he think about law? It's in here. It's the revealed will of God. And so many times we're looking for his will in all these big ways, and he's saying, you're not even following the will that's spelled out in black and white. We need to be following his word, that which we already know. And this word is given by his authority, and it's backed up with his power. You know, his word is not empty. It's full of power. Has the power to transform lives. Your life, my life, someone else's life. The word of God is quite a word. I think sometimes, I don't know how many Bibles you have. I have several. I think we kind of take it for granted sometimes. I think we kind of take it for granted. I remember going to Peru and having Bibles, and man, they're lining up. They're lining up. You know, and when they get it, and all we had was, you know, we had Spanish New Testaments. I think they had Psalms and Proverbs in them or something also. But man, they would hold it up against themselves. You know, it was dear to them. And we, you know, I mean, I got a Bible that I just preach out of. I got one that sits in my office that I study out of. I got a couple at home that I study, you know. And I don't really think about the fact that, you know, and if I want to get a different one, I can zoot down to the store and get another one if I want. And so can you. And we really, I think, take it lightly sometimes just how important the Word of God is and the ability to possess it. Fortunately, in our country today, we still have the freedom to possess this book. May not always be that way, folks. We'll have to start hiding them. But for now, we have that freedom. I hope you don't take it lightly. So we are to continue in His Word. And He says, and then you really are My disciples. We need to be His disciple. What is a disciple? It is a learner that is not only a pupil. You know, anybody can be a learner. You know, most of us, if not all of us, have gone to school. And you sit there in a desk, and the teacher's up there, and maybe it's a subject you don't really care too much about. You know, I had a bunch of those that I really didn't care too much about. I was a pupil, but I certainly wasn't a disciple of my English teacher, okay? Did not like English. Some people liked English or literature and things like that. I had no use for it. None. No use for it. But that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Are we just pupils? Do you just come to church and listen and learn? Or are you a disciple? A learner is not only a pupil, but an imitator of his teacher. Not for a term, because, you know, when you're in school, you just can't wait, right? Okay, man, I'll be, two more months I'm out of this class forever, right? Not for a term, but rather for life. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're a disciple for life. And you're not just learning about Him, which we do need to do. But we need to be an imitator. A disciple is an imitator. Do we treat other people like Christ treated people? Do we love them? Do we have compassion for them? Do we speak the truth to them? Because He did that too. You know, this passage just before this one, He's laying it on the Pharisees. Now, I'm not saying we're to, you know, browbeat people. But when you have opportunity to speak truth, you speak the truth in love. You're not trying to drive them away. You're trying to give them light. And you got to let people have time to process what you're saying. You know, I don't know about you, but I didn't come around in one day. I heard a lot of church and a lot of things for a lot of years before God finally moved in my heart. And I was open to His truth. And I'm so glad people didn't give up on me. We need to be patient. We need to speak the truth in love and be willing to have an answer, as the Bible says. And be compassionate, because we need to understand that when people don't have the truth, their eternity hangs in the balance. And it's way bigger than anything else we got going in this world. Yeah, we may not care for the government or this or that or the other, whatever, but you know what? Bottom line, this whole world's going to pass one day. The whole thing. And we're going to be left with two places, two possible places to go. And that's the same of every, that's the truth of for every single person. And God has trusted us with His message. Think about that. We are trusted with the message to share, that people would have truth and have freedom. So continue. Whoops, where am I at here? I haven't been pushing a button, have I? So this is the process. Now I caught up with myself. Freedom continues by living in the truth. You got to stay. If you want to be free, truly free, you got to stay in the truth. You start living a lie, you start bending the rules, you're no longer living free. It's just that simple. It starts with believing the truth. It continues by living in the truth. Now, I like this next one. This is the promises. This is the promises. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Two promises that are made here. First of all, we will know the truth. You know, if we practice these things, what Jesus says, first we got to believe the truth, and then we got to be in the truth, continue in it, stay in it, study it, learn it, imitate it, imitate our master, okay? When you start doing those things and living those things, you will know the truth. We will know what we are to believe. How these truths connect and relate to one another. Do you understand that all the truths in this book, they all connect? There's no ambiguity. There's no contradiction. It all flows. It all flows. It was interesting, it makes me wonder about people sometimes. A person that I was acquainted with, because I worked with him, for a number of years, not closely or anything like that, but you know, I saw him over the years in meetings and on the road sometimes. I even did a service call at his house one time. It was a recall on something, and that's why he didn't do it himself. I'm sure he was capable, but it was free recall, so you know, he had us do it, and I was the one. But been out there, and I looked in the paper the other day, and I saw his picture. It was in the obituary column. And it was interesting. His brother had put the thing in there. And it said that he is survived by his loving companion. And it named her name. But it obviously wasn't his wife. You know, and then all these things. And then at the bottom it says he retired, which I knew he had retired a couple of years ago. But it said he had retired so he could finish writing his book. And I'm shooting from the hip here. I don't know, God just moved me to share this. But the title of the book was something like Jesus and the Path to Life or something like that. And so I find a contradiction there in that he was living with a woman outside of marriage, and yet he's writing a book about Jesus. And that's what we're talking about here. We will know the truth if we practice these things. There'll be no contradiction. Now, are we all sinners? Do we all fall short of the glory of God? Absolutely. Okay, I mean, I'm not saying we're going to be perfect or anything like that. But our life ought to be consistently consistent with the Word of God. I mean, we always have our times. Sin nature still resides. Okay? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, those kind of things still affect us. We're not immune to the wiles of the world or the temptations of the devil or anything like that. He still comes after us. And we can make bad decisions. But knowing the truth and living it consistently is a result of being in His Word and staying in it and trying to be an imitator of the Lord. And if you do that, you're going to know the truth and you'll be free. That's the second part. Do you know? How well do you know the truth? Maybe that's a better question. How well do you know it? Do you know the grounds and the reasons for your belief? You hear me say it from time to time. Do you know why you believe what you believe? A lot of Christians know what they believe. But do you know why you believe it. We need to understand that the reasons are found in His Word. And that's what we stand on. We don't stand on opinion. We stand on the Word of God. Why we believe what we believe. So we will know the truth. We'll know why we believe what we believe. We'll understand why we're grounded on this Word. And secondly, the truth will set us free. What are you free from today? Have you ever stopped and thanked God for what you are free from? We don't think about that too much, I believe. We're always praising God for our salvation, as we should. I mean, that's best thing ever, right? Go to heaven, not hell. Best thing ever. Doesn't cost me anything. I don't have to earn it. That's best thing ever. But you understand, you are free from guilt. When you accept Christ as your Savior, He forgives you. You are justified, the Bible says, which is a fancy word for saying not guilty. God declares you not guilty. Now, every one of us is as guilty can be. We've all done something that we are guilty of. We've all done many things that we are guilty of. But God declares us not guilty based on our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That He paid the price that we could not pay for our sin. So we're free from the guilt of sin. Do you understand that you're free from the bondage of sin? The Bible says we're a slave to sin. We can't help but sin. Anybody that's had a small child understands this, because little kids just sin all over the place. Naturally. If they think they're in trouble, they'll lie. If they see a cookie and they think they can get away with it and they've been told not to eat it, they'll eat it. You and I'll eat it. You ever have your wife or someone tell you, "Now I made these. I made these to bring to church." And then you just kind of wait, right? You just kind of wait till she's out of the room. Well, they ain't going to notice if one's missing, you know? I mean, after all, I got to check these out, make sure it's suitable for everyone at church, right? But we're free from that bondage. We have a sin nature, but we don't have to sin anymore. We are free from the judgment of our sin. According to the rules, we deserve hell. But because of grace, we get heaven. And we're free from that judgment. You and I, those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we will stand before God one day, but it won't be to be judged on our sin. It'll be to be judged on our works that we did after we got saved. Were we obedient? Were we, you know, did God use us? Did we allow Him to use us the way He wanted to? We'll be judged on those things. That's where the crowns come in and all those things. But as far as your eternity, that's already set. And you're not going to be judged. We are free from that. We are free, and you ought to praise God for this, from the yoke of the ceremonial law. You ever read in the Old Testament what all these people had to do? My goodness. When did they ever have time to work? I mean, it was always like this month-long thing here and a month-long thing there and do this and do that. And, you know, if you touched something unclean, you had to go like 7 days, you know, and all that before you could touch anybody else. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, God had a purpose for it, but we're free from that. Because all those ceremonial laws and all those things they did, that was all to point the way to Jesus Christ so that when He came, they would recognize this is what this was about. And once He did come, it eliminated that. That's why we don't sacrifice sheep and send scapegoats out into the wilderness and all the stuff they had to do. We're free from that. Think about this. We are free from the feelings, lusts, and passions which used to enslave and entangle our souls. You know, you don't have to succumb to the flesh anymore. You don't have to. Now, many times we choose to, but you are not a slave to the flesh anymore. You have a choice. Before, we didn't have a choice. We were going to do, as the Bible puts in the Old Testament, do what is right in our own eyes. But we don't have to do that anymore. We're free from that. We have the ability to choose. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, which gives us all we need to live a righteous life. How about this? We are free to love. A true love. A commitment kind of love. An unconditional love. We get that ability. We are free to forgive. There's a huge one. That's a huge one. Because we like to hold on to stuff, don't we? And if we do forgive, well, I'm willing to forgive. They just won't ever ask me. They won't ever admit it. No, we're not supposed to hold things against people, folks. You got to let it go, and you're free to do that. We are free to encourage. You know, we can actually encourage someone in the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things people try to say to encourage people, but if it's not kind of based out of this word in some way, it's kind of empty. You know, it's kind of like, you know, take our dear sister Vicky, you know, waiting all that time for a liver transplant, scared to death. She said that when she got the word that she was going in, you know, for real, I mean, it was really going to happen, her blood pressure went up to like 150 over 90 or something. And I don't blame her, man. She was scared. I don't care how much you've prepared. When the time comes, you're scared. And she actually texted me and said, you know, I'm kind of... Now, without the Holy Spirit, without God in my life, if she'd have just been some friend that, you know, well, I hope everything turns out okay for you. How encouraging is that? Well, let's just hope it works. Hope you haven't made a mistake. That's pretty empty, isn't it? But I sent her a message that said something like, you know, God is a God of peace. And when we focus on Him, we can have that same peace. And that He has promised to, you know, never leave us or forsake us. He's right there with you. And I just, you know, I texted a little prayer, you know, may the God of peace be with you right now. May He affect you right now. And she texted me back a little while later, wasn't even 15 minutes, I don't think. My blood pressure is down to 124 over 80. That wasn't me. But God used me to say some words that gave her a little encouragement. It was His words of peace and hope and love that affected her. We're free to encourage and edify and build one another up. You know, the Bible says that we should all consider everyone else more important than ourselves. And without God working in here, you can't do that. Because I can always think of ways that I am way more important than you, fleshly speaking. Because I'm number one, man. I mean, that's the way of the world, right? Take care of number one. But the Bible says consider everyone else more important. You know, if we all treated each other that way, how would that revolutionize our relationships? If every wife treated her husband as if he was more important, every husband treated his wife as if she was more important, parents treated the kids like they were more important, and the kids treated their parents like they were more important than them, and we treat our neighbors that way, and wow, what a difference that would make. And we're, you know what, we're free to do that. We are absolutely free to do that. We are free to serve and live for Jesus. You know, before you were saved, you really couldn't live for him. You really couldn't serve him. Not really. You could do some good things. You know, you could, you know, there's a lot of unsaved people do some very good things. But if you're really going to serve Christ, if you're really going to live for him, he's got to be here. He's got to be here. So those are the promises, folks. Those are some pretty cool promises. We don't serve an empty God. We don't serve a God that just demands and demands and demands. Oh yeah, he expects us to obey his word, and you know, and when he calls us to do something, to follow through. But boy, he gives so much more than he takes, doesn't he? Gives so much more than he takes. You know, the Bible says, give and it will be given to you. When you give, then it will be given to you. It's not get it and then give it. Okay? You give of yourself, and then it will be given of you. And then it says it'll be, you know, like if you had a cup and it had flour in it or something. So you give a cup of flour, and then it says he's going to fill that back up with flour and then tamp it down, press it down, put some more in. You know, it's kind of like a hole. You ever notice that when you're working in the yard, you dig a hole? Then when you go to put the dirt back, there's never enough dirt, and you're like, what happened to the dirt? But that's the way God is. He's going to give you more. He says it in his word. Freedom is guaranteed by the truth. Freedom starts with believing the truth. It continues by living in the truth. And then lastly, it's guaranteed by the truth. It's guaranteed. He says you will know the truth. And the truth, he says you will. It's not you might or you may or you could. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. In some other versions, it says shall, which is even more declarative, even more firm. Shall set you free. It's guaranteed, folks. Truth and freedom go hand in hand. You can't really have one without the other. Not real freedom, not real truth. Freedom is rooted in truth. It starts with truth. Where there is deception, there is only a facade of freedom that will crumble when the actual truth is revealed. You know, it's you get promised a lot of things, don't you? In life, different things are promised, but then when you find out it's a little deceptive. We call it the fine print. It's just another term for deceptive advertising. Why do they got to have fine print? Because what they're telling you in the big print isn't quite what you're thinking. And you think, wow, I'm going to do all this, or I'm going to get all this, or I'm going to have all this. And then you look in there, well, there's some restrictions on this, and blah, 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 blah. And then you know what? Then you go, wow, that's not really what they were talking about at all. When you get down to the actual truth, the worldly stuff kind of fades. But that's the beauty of God's word, is when you get down to the actual truth with his word, man, it's great. All the promises that are in his word, they're great. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to no pain, no tears, right? No more broken relationships. No more war. No more poverty. Being face to face with Christ. No more doubts. No more wondering. I mean, that's truth I want to bank on. Those are the things I'm looking forward to. This world pales. You know, the world itself is pretty enticing. I mean, I just went on a vacation, saw some beautiful things. Saw some great things. But it all pales in the light of our God and what He has in store for us. You and me, you know, grab a hold of that truth. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You can't even think what God has planned for you. For you. Praise the Lord for the truth that is found in Jesus Christ, the only path to authentic freedom. It's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want real life, abundant life, authentic life? Christ is the way. No one comes to the Father. That's what Jesus said. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Period. He's the only way. He's the only path. I like verse 36. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that's a good verse. That's a good verse. So let me ask you a question. Are you, might be some in this room today. I never take it for granted that everyone that comes to a church knows the Lord. Never take it for granted. There could be somebody here that is actually a slave to sin. They've never gotten real with God. And that's really what it's about. It's just being real with Him. It's just saying, Lord, I admit it. I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven. Will you forgive me? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. There may be someone here today that you've been given a false truth. If there's, it's kind of a contradictory term, but something that you received as truth that really wasn't. And you may have been banking on that for years. But maybe God has convicted you today that you really haven't received the truth. You've never asked Him to forgive you. You've never said, I'm sorry, forgive me. You've never done that. The Bible says, though, if you will, if you admit it, He's faithful and He will forgive you. That's all He asks, is just get real with Him. Because He already knows. He already knows where you're at. He already knows what you've done. Every one of us. He knows everything we've done. We're not fooling Him. We're not deceiving Him. We're not getting one over on Him. He's waiting for us to come to Him and just be real. Maybe someone here like that today. This will be your opportunity. Just come and make it right. Just like the lady in the parking lot the other day, you know? You just make it right. You just admit what you really already know, and God already knows as well. For the rest of us, you know, ponder the freedoms that you have in Christ. Do we take them lightly? Do we kind of just blow by them on a daily basis and not really ponder what He has done on our behalf? If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I have never made it right with God. I've never asked Him to forgive me. I've never admitted to Him that I'm a sinner, that I need forgiveness. Is there anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I'd like to pray for you. Anybody like that? Okay, as far as I know, everyone here has accepted the Lord, and that's great. I hope that's true. For the rest of us, let me ask you a question. Do you live like you're free? Do you live like you're free? Or are you in some sort of self-imposed bondage? You know, a lot of times we're kind of in bondage and we come to the Lord and the Lord is faithful. He does forgive us. And you know what? He opens the cell door, so to speak. And then we just elect to stay in the cell, even though the door's wide open. Would you step out of the cell and just claim your freedom? It's already been bought for you. Jesus Christ already paid the price for your freedom. So I hope you live like you're free. I hope you don't live like you're in bondage. I hope you don't place yourself, because that's really what you're doing now. You're placing yourself in bondage when the door's already been opened up for you. Praise God for the freedom we have because of Jesus Christ. How many here would say, I need to start living like I'm free? How many just slip your hand up? I need to live like I'm free. Amen. God bless you. I'm free and I'm still choosing some things I shouldn't do. Anybody like that? Just need to be real. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that you would open our minds up to your truth. I pray, Lord, that we would receive your truth and then act upon your truth. That we would become that profitable servant, one that lives for you, one that, as we get ourselves out of the way, Lord God, as we humble ourselves before you and set aside our desires and take on yours, Lord God, that people would begin to see you through us in a greater way, every one of us, that we would shine brighter for you as a result of the truth. May we celebrate the freedom that we have, Lord, not only in our nation, but in you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. As Kathy plays, maybe God brought something to your mind. You need to deal with it. Maybe you just need to ask Him to forgive you for kind of living in a bondage kind of way. Just choosing some things that you don't have to choose. Get real with God right now. This is your time. God, we thank you for the freedom that we enjoy, Lord. Thank you for your word, which shows us your promises, all the things that you've done on our behalf, Lord. May we take advantage of them and allow your light to shine brightly in a world that is dark. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. May we be that good and faithful servant that hears one day, well done, enter into my rest. We look forward to that, Lord. The great promise of all, greatest promise of all, just being with you in your rest. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.